Are you ready for the word? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for filling my life with the word of God. And Father, I thank you that it is the only means by which I receive my bread from heaven. And so I don't take it lightly. And so Father, as today as we get into the word of God, I thank you that I had the opportunity to eat it first. And experience it first. And it did a lot of good for me. And so, Father, I pray that your people get a hold of it the way I got a hold of it and are blessed by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last Sunday we talked about the stresses that are coming upon mankind. And according to Scripture fulfillment, the world is going in the direction that we all know it's going to go. But you know, I'm convinced now that God wants us to have a spirit of joy and encouragement, realizing that our redemption draws real close. And so that's a good thing. But in the meantime, we have to remember that we're still the salt of the earth. The church, as long as the administration of Jesus is here, God has companion and has opened the door for all mankind, even the Pope, to receive the redemptive blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never had more people call me and tell me, shook up and in anxiety because of two major events that happened into our life just recently. And I told them, I says, well, be at peace. Be at peace. You know, they were concerned about China visiting us and the Pope visiting us. And it doesn't bother me one way or the other. Matter of fact, Caiaphas, the high priest, and many of the Sanhedrin, they couldn't figure out why Jesus was always at peace. And they said it didn't seem to him to care who was in control or who was ruling. Well, he was not the God. He didn't come to establish anything in this world. He came to establish a kingdom of God in the earth, which we became a part of. Praise God. And so we are headed for some very troublous and dangerous times. And so we talked a little bit about the kind of mind that the church develops that will not do any good for the subject of peace. And one of them is the sovereignty of God. Another one is that everything's been predestined to happen. That God uses evil to train and instruct. God allows evil to happen in order to judge the evil in us. They use the word of God in teaching grace in a way or interpret sin in a manner that is allowed to have dominion. They interpret out of context the use of characters in the Bible as an excuse to allow a reason why we have unfavorable circumstances over things. What I mean by is they use a character in the Old Testament. He had that problem. We should have that same problem. Well, it's good to look at the problems that happened to those in the Old Testament, but it's also good to understand what was the outcome of them. You know, I like to learn the outcome of somebody that has a favorable thing to rejoice that he went through the water and didn't drown. Or went through the fire and it didn't burn, you know. Good way of looking at life that way. Because you always have this concept that God's got his eye on you. He's provided everything that you and I need for this dispensation. But you know, things happen in this world that causes stress to come upon us. But I got some good news for you. As long as you're not creating the stress, you have a way out. But if you're the one creating the stress in your life, you still have a way out, but you have to do away with the one who's letting the stress come in. It's called self. Now, we like to blame it on everybody else, but it just doesn't work that way. Now, we taught about how four major areas of where stress comes through. One of them is the circumstances of life. This is where we could create our own problems. And then we also have things that are unavoidable. We also neglect important issues. we have bad timings and the cares of this world. Then we have a direct attack of Satan himself, a failure to develop spiritually. And so these things are important because in the circumstances of life, if these areas are not defined and how to deal with them, stress can take you out. Number two, your past, memories, pain, hurt, debt collecting, moving through life out of the rearview mirror. This produces a blind side to our life. Then number three, self-worth, how you value yourself. If you're high-minded, low self-esteem, this equals inferiority, inadequacy of feelings. You have this concept of failure within yourself. And another one is your emotional state. A lot of people don't realize they become a victim of stress through their own emotional state. The feelings, they either become more alive or dead. And having dead feelings is just as bad as having feelings that control you. Because some of us, we could cough up all kinds of imaginations just through feelings. And then number five, the provision of our natural life, our vocation. That can also play a major role in which stress comes through. You always read about people that are successful in life and they give good value to how they accomplish things in life. But listen, that's more of a happenstance to them than a reality of living on purpose through life, not to be overtaken by stress and cares of this world. There are some people, even that have been a part of our congregation, that are no longer here. They are gone home to be with the Lord. They had so much fear in them, they would not leave their home. And here you are, a believer. And yet they had feared so terrible, so caught up in their vain imaginations, they feared stepping outside their door. And we've had to try and minister to them to get them to overcome that fear. They even had a fear of coming to church. Now that's way out of line. We should not be like that. But I think if you stop to think about it, because people don't know how to handle stress or worry, they look at other means of dealing with it. Mostly it's from the natural. One of them is they try to deal with stress through emotional outbursts. This is where they lose control over their emotions. And James said that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so they're overtaken emotionally. And if they're not careful at bringing them into check, they'll begin to learn to use their emotions to control people with and to make a change under stress. That's not an answer. Number two, unforgiveness. Things that have happened to us or presently happening to us stick with us, kind of like Velcro. And we don't know how to get rid of them. We don't know how to cast them off because we have no restraint within ourselves. We don't know how to do that. And of course, number three, unteachableness. This is the opposite of humility. Some people have arrived at a conclusion or a level of faith in their life, and they think they've learned everything, and they quit growing in life. And it's not good to be neutralized, because we have an arch enemy that knows how he can neutralize you and then undo you. Right where you're at. Uncriticalness. Some of us become oversensitive, easily offended. We lack grace in our life, especially with people. So we get critical because we don't know how to handle the cares and stresses of life. And a lot of us, through criticalness, create within us strongholds in our thinking to protect us, when really they become a prison. And then faithlessness. We lose trust in God or man, which creates uncommitment in us. And you know, it's important that we be found faithful with God, but it's just as important to become faithful with men in every area of our life. We open up to bitterness. This shuts the Spirit of God down to speak to us. We're not able to hear Him under this attitude and pressure. Number seven, we become easily offended, influenceable. especially to those who agree with us or the outcome of something, we become easily influenced. People can influence us, especially when we're under cares and stress of this life, negatively. And you have to be careful of that. When you're not feeling good about something, you're under a lot of pressure. You've got to be careful of who you fellowship with when you're in that state or condition. Because you're vulnerable to anything that can come your way in that situation. Confusion. A lot of times we don't know how to deal with stress. We become confused, never knowing where we belong. And that's the first thing that some people are very confused of. They think by changing their environment, it will help the confusion. It won't. You take your confusion with you. Another one is double-mindedness. We never get settled in our thinking. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, "He who has no rule over his spirit is like a city without walls or protection." Even though we have peace with God, many believers never experience to get to know the peace of God. They never really get to know the peace of God. Dealing with things, we quickly went over them. One way is we begin lying. We fear that the truth might add to the stress, so we lie. We move into excuses. We give reasons for our actions. This is what I call scapegoating. We open up to believing in quick fixes. Now, where did I get all this from me? I found this in me when I got under stress and care and worry. Thank God I learned something about dealing with stress. Go to the Word of God about it. We open up to believing in quick fixes, looking for something or to make things go away. This is what I call a bailout mentality. Self-vindication. I'm a victim. No one but me. I do everything and no one else will. I won't be in this fix if it wasn't for so-and-so. I wouldn't be where I'm at. Right. Venting through our emotions. This is a form of our emotions, again, being used to control situations or people. Self-condemnation. We feel better fellowshipping with depression. It's our way mentally to pay penance for our situation. We feel that we really care if we really, really have what we call a self-condemnation about it. We're facing reality. You know, when I refuse to get under stress and care, I refuse to let it move into me as my own personal self-esteem. You know what the first thing somebody said to me when I refused to do that? Jan, how do you get to the place where you just don't care? Well, it's not that I don't care. But you have to define when you use the term care. I asked somebody, I said, take care. And they said, I will not. And I looked at them and said, why? Well, I heard a pastor say that we're not to take care. I said, well, that's correct. Well, you just told me to take it. And I said, I didn't tell you to take that care. Well, what care were you referring to? The care of responsibility. Not the care of stress and worry or anxiety. I wasn't telling you, take nervousness and anxiety and stress. That's not where I was coming. I'd say take care. In other words, watch over. Be diligent. Do the affairs of your life knowing that it's your responsibility to do such. That's all I was saying. Oh, well, now that you explained it that way, and I said, I thank God that I explained it that way, because I wouldn't want you to say the same thing to somebody else that you told me. And this one is a big one, and we don't think about it, but you can't handle the stress of life with this kind of thinking. Running from the fear of responsibility. There is a fear of responsibility that gets into every one of us. I'm going to tell you, when I started this church, we supernaturally exploded. You thought, oh man, you had to be the joy and the epitome of the health of your life when you're being so successful in ministry. I'm going to tell you, people, when you leave your house dealing with three or four people and you end up inheriting a church of about 1,000 people overnight, You don't think that there's worry that comes with that? I'd go home and my wife will tell you for 2.5 months I sat there and stared at the wall. And my thinking was, what am I going to do with all that I've inherited overnight? That's why I think gradually working into something's a whole lot better than having a whole lot dumped on you at once. Negative or positive. Because it causes your thinking to have to expand in a realm that you've never experienced before. Thank God the only thing I knew to do was stay in my prayer closet. Thank God for that. Praise God, because I found out that the 1,000 people I gained was goats and fleas and nomads from every other church in the city. And boy, tell me you didn't have to end up with some kind of teaching about psychology or something to help stable your minds, because you run into things that you never thought that you'd ever run into. This lady that was one of my very first secretaries. The day we opened our church, the first Monday, and the only thing I knew to do was to counsel. I never counseled anybody in my life, and those that I did counsel, it was not very successful, meaning my family, my wife and kids. What'd you do? Don't do that again. You know, that was my attitude, you know. And so I'll never forget my secretary telling me, now you have to set some time in for counseling. Counsel who? Well, the people that are coming now. Oh, yeah, well, counsel, what is counseling? Well, that's where, you know, you meet with every person and you go over and give them advice for what they need. Ah, that's easy. I got the Word of God. I got the Word of God. That's easy. I found out because I had the Word of God, counseling was not easy. And I'll forget the first lady that came into my office for me to counsel. Sat across the room in the corner, and she started opening up all the problems she had in her house. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking and listening to her, and I got to thinking, my God, I got the same problems in my house. But you can't tell her that. You can't say, well, I can't counsel you. Why? I got the same problems in my house. The man you're talking about is me. Can't say that. So you're sitting there. And so it's almost like, boy, talk about feeling hypocritical. Well, here's what you need to do. That does not leave you. And after that first session, she walked out of there and I walked out. Who's coming in next? But I learned real quick. Turn that over to John Cook. First time I asked him to do it, John goes, no. He came back later and said, I'll do it. Thank God. He had moved along from that point. He was successful in what he was doing in his family and everything. And I had to find somebody so that he could help us. And he did. Thank God for that. But the point I want to make out is we are living in some very difficult times, and you're seeing that no one knows who to turn to for an answer. We find that in even trying to elect officials to become our next president. And so everybody's in stress and everybody's freaking out, and then you hear these men, and you know the world can't give you peace. That's right. You know, you need to get a revelation of that right now. From one president to the next, all of us seem to think things should get better. Things get worse, according to the Word of God. And so we're sitting here and we're forgetting, if we're not careful, the stress of life can tell us very plainly that the world can undo you. And we're not to have that mindset. We are to have the mindset that we are the salt of the earth. We belong to a different kingdom. We are now on lease in this life. We are to affect where we can affect as much as possible and keep the spirit of fear of the world out of us. Because that's when they turn to us for an answer. This one brother, he called me, and I felt so sorry for him because his heart was just coming undone because of his understanding of where the world's going, and he's so new in the Lord, I don't even know where to begin to instruct him. And the thing I told him, I says, well, no matter what's going on, we are Christians and we should know that we belong in peace. And he couldn't argue with that. And I said, so that should be the first sign that your thinking should not allow you to become undone. And so he's going to send me all this information that he conjured up in his mind. And, you know, you don't know how to tell him. Well, they're just vain imagination of mine. But I will read his information, try to figure out where he's coming from. But I'll go back and answer him according to the Word of God. Now, turn over to John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, 27. And I want to get across to you, how do we deal with the stress and care of this world? Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's not by listening to it constantly, because it will have an effect on you. So let's go to John 14. And there are some key words that you have to get a hold of in your life and join yourself to them. Because when God speaks, how many of you know he gives us his word? Because his word is the thing that you need to trust and believe in and bond to. Can I hear an amen on that? And so in John chapter 14, this was a key thing that the Holy Spirit gave me to look at. And in John 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wow. Now, as long as we're under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, this verse has authority. Right now, presently, where we're sitting and living. And so no matter what the world is going through, we know that we are the salt of the earth, and we need to remember, wait a minute, the Lord left with us peace. Peace. And when I read that, I remembered another verse that was so meaningful to me. Go to John 16, 33. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Now notice this. In the world you will have tribulation. Well, is that a revelation to you, or have you lived that understanding? Now notice this. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This verse really threw me off, because he didn't say, I give you the ability to overcome the world. He says, I have overcome the world. Now, when does that end? I'll tell you when it ends, when we're with the Lord forever. But until we're here on this earth and we're called the salt of the earth and he left us with peace, then I got good news for you. As long as we're in that position, guess what? We can have peace because we know that he overcame the world, and so our outcome is going to be just as victorious as what he has done through it. Which brings up something that I want you to look at in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And again, I'm going to share with you, I still have enough time to share with you, Pastor, how can I really deal with stress that comes into my life? How can I really deal with it? In Luke, look at this. In Luke chapter 1, and let's go to verse 79. And in verse 79, it says this. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Now I want you to notice the word to guide our feet into the way of peace. Did you know in John 16:13 we read that He would lead and guide us into all truth? The word guide there in the Greek is literally a word that emphasizes teaching. So He says when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to guide us into all truth with the emphasis of teaching us and instructing us. Now we're talking about how are we going to deal with stress and cares of this world that we're faced with today. Well, number one, we brought out, are you the problem? That's one way you have to face some of the stress that you're faced with. Are you creating it? Or is it something that's outside yourself that comes on you? And so here, the word in John 16:13 for guide literally means the emphasis of teaching you what truth is. But here in Luke 1:79, the word guide here is different. It means to guide or direct one's way or journey to a place. I want to say that again. The word for guide here is not the same emphasis that is mentioned in John 16:13 of teaching. This word guide here means to give, to guide or direct one's way or journey to a place. In other words, by directing each step in the way of peace in a person's heart is what this is referring to. And so God, what He does, He's telling us because of these two differences here very plainly. He says one is to impart truth, to teach you. And so the other one was that in order for you to experience peace, especially when you're under stress, that He's saying there, now what I'm going to do is because I've already given you truth, now I'm going to tell you how to take that truth and use it to take step by step where you're at out of that place. And so it dawned on me what Dean had said to John and I when we met with him on Tuesdays. He was talking about when he entered into heaven, there was no teaching on peace there. And he said that what the Lord had revealed to him, that the reason that peace is not an issue there is because you're living where peace comes from. And so I couldn't figure that out until I got these two words here for guide here a little differently, which caused me to go into other areas of the word. And I begin to realize that the reason that there is no peace emphasized in heaven is there's no opportunity for peace to be lost. Amen. When you get into heaven, you're not going to have to be concerned about being in peace because there's no opposition there to take you out of peace. But while you're here, you got the opportunity to get into a fix. Which validates those bumper stickers. Things happen on earth. And so I began to realize, wow, now I really understand where he was coming from, because I didn't know whether I really agreed with Dean on that or not, but it finally dawned on me, yeah, there's no opportunity to lose peace there, so why would that be an issue? Here, peace began to dawn on me. It's here that peace must be developed in us because there's every opportunity for us to lose it. Have you guys figured that out right now, by now? Is there an opportunity that has come across in your life for you to take on stress? Well, when you have stress in your life, the first thing God wants you to do is choose to go to peace. How difficult is that? It's not. It's just, are you going to allow the stress to overcharge you? Or are you going to get the revelation that in order for peace to be a part of your life, you have to choose to go to the place of His Word where He leads you step by step so that you can walk out of stress, care, worry, anxiety, frustration that will undo you to a place where you now have peace that you've chosen. Peace, listen, peace comes from God. But peace is developed in you and me. Through what? Through the struggles of this life. Because Jesus said it. He said, in this world you're going to have tribulation. What a negative confession. But He turned around and said, but be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. That means that we can follow His example. We'll come out of it. Though we go through the fire, we ain't going to be burned. Though we go through the waters, it will not overtake us. Why? Because He has left us the wisdom of example to how we can take step by step and not even have a care and a worry and a stress that would cause us to undo us and come right out through everything and be victorious. He says, and I like the way it's worded in the Greek, to give light to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into not the way of peace, but a way of peace. The word a has to be there in order for step by step to work. He's given you a special way to your peace. He's given me a special way to my peace. He's not saying the way of peace. Every one of us, the way to our peace is very unique within itself. The same application I use is not the same one that you can use. You might have to use a different application. You follow what I'm saying? Second Thessalonians 3:5. Go there. I want you to understand this word for a way of peace. And that tells you that's His first commitment into our life. So in 2 Thessalonians, is this helping you a little bit? What I'm telling you, if you want to get out of from under stress and worry and cares, well, you got to go to the one who gives peace, not that the world gives. You cannot, listen, I'm going to tell you, these men, they're speaking lies. They're saying, I have the answer for you. No, they don't. There ain't nobody that can give you an answer because it's not in the way of man to know what's right for somebody. I don't have no confidence in the flesh. I have no confidence in men. Are you following me? And I know whoever I vote to, the only reason I'm voting for them is they have the best way for a solution, but not the solution. God is the only one that can give us the right solution. You ain't going to sit there and tell me some guy that believes in Mormonism has got an answer for us. That kind of guy is shut off because he doesn't even know how to hear God in his heart. All he knows how to read the signs of the time. Okay, now here in 2 Thessalonians, boy, this is a very interesting chapter 3, and look at verse 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Now, the word for direct here in 2 Thessalonians is the same word that you will find in Luke 1:79. Isn't that interesting? He goes and says, direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which he's received from us. And he's making a statement here. And he's saying the way for your heart to be settled is that the Lord is at work in it to direct it. There's where you find peace. Deliberately find it. In Galatians, this led up to another interesting one. Psalms 5:8. Turn to Psalms 5:8. I want you to catch this. Boy, when I caught this just this morning. in Psalms 5:8. In Psalms 5:8, notice what it says here. Very interesting. Lead me. Here we go again. This word lead here connects directly with the New Testament word for guide out of Luke 1:7. Notice, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of, notice this, because of mine enemies. You know what that means? It means that no matter how many of your enemies arrive on the horizon, God will leave you, lead you, so that they cannot affect you. Whew. Hallelujah. Now look what he said here. Oh, he said, he will lead me. That means guide me because of my enemies. You know what that means? The closer we get to the return of the Lord, things are going to get worse here. But things will be just fine for the church because we have a place that we can directly go to because we have the Holy Spirit who teaches us all things. And the things that we have learned, He'll guide us through those things that we've learned. Whew. Now, when I thought of that, you know what the antonym to this is? It means just the opposite. The Greek tells there's an antonym to, meaning the opposite. Is that the right word to say? Antonym? That means the opposite, right? Okay. Here's what it means. When I looked this up, it was powerful. The opposite is to cause someone, the opposite of being guided or directed means to guide someone so that he will wander and to go about or around something so that he can perish. So if you don't have guidance when you're under stress and worry from him, then the antonym would be that you'll wander around. You'll even take the long way that could possibly cause you not to make it. It means you're a legend in your own mind. You'll end up with a mind of vanity. And some of the things that some Christians worry about that's so beyond them, it amazes me. I say within myself, they need to know that He can direct them in peace, no matter what the world cries out. How many of you had to wake up from Sunday to Monday and had to face a troublesome day in your life? Has any of you ever experienced that? Ken? Yeah. Those that didn't raise their hand, that just tells me you're in agreement. I hope. Of course, all of us have. I mean, I woke up to a Monday morning. And that song kept going through me. Monday, Monday. Oh, boy. How am I going to face this one? And the way that you face it, you get out in your prayer closet. Start talking to the Lord. And He's going to take something that He's taught you in the past. He will do it. He'll take something that He's taught you in the past. He'll speak to you through Scripture. He's done it to me time and again and given me total peace. You know, there's some things that you can't figure out within yourself. Even if you've behaved yourself into it, you can't figure it out. So what do? You know what? I always tell people, you know what you need to do with that? What? Leave it with the Lord. Amen. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what you're saying. I said, well, that's what I'm telling you. Leave it with the Lord. Well, you don't understand. I said, that's why I'm telling you to leave it with the Lord. You understand what you're in. Oh, well, what does that mean, Pastor? I said, you have an understanding at work within you that's undoing you. And so you take that understanding that is undoing you and you leave it with God. Because He knows how to deal with that you don't know how to deal with. Is that what that means? Kind of, yeah. Well, do you want something more complicated or difficult? Well, no. Well, it says that I don't have anything more complicated or difficult to give you. I don't know how to use the internet. I don't know how to use computers. I mean, if I could tell you what blog to go to, or what .com or .org or Twitter or one of them, I would know how to tell them where to go to help with the cares and stress and the understanding of what they have. Wouldn't it be weird if I said, oh, I know your problem. What you need to do is go to Facebook. Now, Facebook, I was told, which I was excited about getting on, is a gossip column. Is that true? I wanted to be a part of the gossip. I wanted to gossip the gospel. So I'll face the book. That came from John Cook, face the book. So I went on Facebook so they would face the book. Cool, huh? And so I tell them, just leave it with God. Now that you have that understanding, leave with Him, because He passes all understanding. You know, there's some things you just can't think your way out of. Especially if you're the one to put you into it. And God, when He looks at the situations, is He going to say, oh my God. Oh, I'm God. No, we need to start really pushing and stressing within ourselves how important it is to find a promise that God has left us and use that for our rest. Amen. That's Hebrews 4, 1 and 2, because it talks about there is a rest to the people of God who have found a promise. If you're going to be concerned about anything, it says it right there in the scripture. If you're going to be concerned about anything, look for a promise that is eluding you for that first step. For peace. Dear Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. Father, help every one of us that when the cares and stress of life start sticking their nasty head up, we can look up and say, Heavenly Father, You have given us an understanding through Your Word that You will lead us and guide us and direct our paths. Even though that the path seems dark, it's not dark to You. Lord, it's light. May we be obedient to what You tell us to do, so that we can rest when You tell us and give us an answer to the things that we need to know about while we're under the cares and stress of things. Amen. You know, many of you have come and you've told me your situations from time to time. We're going to close. And the minute you were telling me it, the Lord said, tell them this. And I've shared it with you. And I could tell that you still went away with stress and care. And I'd say, Lord, I hope they remember what I told them, because it's already taken care of. And they'd come back a week or two later and say, Pastor, remember what you told me? You told me not to be concerned about this, that it would be all right. Well, you know, when people come to me as a pastor of this church, when you share with me the things that you're going through, you know, I have your heart of what you're going through. And so I've learned, when I'm ministering to all of you at the altar, I've learned how to reach in myself and determine whether you should be afraid or not, whether there's a disturbance within me on something or where there isn't. And occasionally I will get a disturbance in my spirit. And that's the hardest for me to relate to someone that needs to get out of what they're in. That's the hardest. But there's a way that you find to be very compassionate and let them know that there's too much water under the bridge. This is going to turn out. But I found that when things turn out unfavorably, it's because they themselves created it. And God was unable to adjust a way of thinking in them to do things a little differently. When you're a pastor, the hardest thing is when people come to you, they usually come to you too late. And it's because of their own behavior that will spell their outcome. And yet most of the time when people come to me, it's not too late. And I can give them a word, but I always reach within myself. I want to tell you, some of us can be really deceived. We can create a mess and then we go to God in hopes that He'll bail us out. And then we have this, I'm at peace. I feel peace. And I look at them and I say, knowing you, I wouldn't be at peace. That's the way I feel sometimes. Because you know that they're going to invariably do the same thing again. Our own actions, we have to give an account for our own actions. God did not say, be of good cheer, I've left you to your own actions. We interpret it that way. And God will bail me out. You ain't going to find no scripture in the Bible that words that. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. So did we solve the mystery of peace? It means you have to let God teach you. And the things that He's taught you is the very things that He'll use to lead and guide you step by step out of the very thing that you're in. Now it's up to us to perform it. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now close this service, we're looking forward to meeting with You tonight, Father, in our new location in a new way. But Father, right now, before the service ends, if there's anybody here that has never given their heart and life to Jesus and would like to be led of the Spirit so that they too can have peace when they face a world that has no peace, can't give them peace, but You can. When they turn to the world, all the world can do is give them a false peace, a false hope. But You can give a permanent hope, a permanent peace. And so, Father, if anybody here has never given their heart and life to Jesus, has never said the sinner's prayer, Father, we want to pray over them. Father, if there's anybody here that has given their heart and life to Jesus, but don't have any confidence in their act, but would like to make a start today, trusting in the decision they have made when they accepted You, Father, we want to pray for them. Father, if there be anybody that has never been filled with the Holy Ghost or been out of fellowship, may they come back home. Hallelujah. And Father, if they have a sickness or a disease, an illness, mentally oppressed, whatever it is, we can lay hands on them. And so with that in mind, if you're standing there, please step forward, come forward to receive prayer. Anybody? Does this give you a little help to understand what it means? That when we get into stress and worry, that God is willing to give you direction to lead you out of it. Did that come across okay for you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else that would like to come forward? Anyone? Okay. Okay. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. We thank You for Your wonderful people. May they go their way today and may they have good success today in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, and Father, may the Seahawks win. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Yes, sweetheart.